Balloon. I saw a balloon going 90 miles per hour. It was tied to a truck, so there was an explanation for it, but I don't know. I guess you still just never expect to see a balloon going that fast. Balloons aren't designed for that. They aren't aerodynamic enough. This one was wobbling all around in spastic little circles, making a sound like... It seemed genuinely out of control. I was laughing so hard I had to pull over. I feel just like that. Bucket. The first time I can remember feeling truly powerless, I was 3, and I was trapped sideways in a bucket in the garage. The bucket belonged to my dad. He used it for washing the car. I don't remember exactly how or why this started, but through some contortion of childhood logic, I decided that I needed to get my entire body into that bucket. The bucket had other plans. Maybe I had something to prove. Maybe there was a compelling reason to need to be entirely inside the bucket that I don't remember. But I couldn't let it go. The fact that I couldn't fit my whole body into the bucket infuriated me. Initially, attempts were confined to car washing days. Slowly, though, I sought out opportunities to make extracurricular assaults. I'd sneak into the garage by myself to try out different confrontations. That's how I ended up alone in the garage, trapped in the bucket. When both my shoulders finally dropped below the bucket's rim, I felt only the briefest flash of triumph before the sensation of being trapped kicked in. I had done it. My entire body was in the bucket. Except now the only thing I wanted was to not be there anymore. Suddenly, there I was, sideways, 4 limbs deep in a plastic car wash bucket, only 3 years old and already doomed to spend my life scooting around like the world's saddest upside-down hermit crab. This is not what I had been trying to accomplish. I didn't even realize it was possible. That's the scary thing about decisions. You don't know what they are when you're making them. Fortunately, it wasn't permanent. I was rescued when my parents accidentally walked close enough to the garage to detect screaming, and the bucket was relocated to a high shelf to prevent me from interacting with it. It wasn't enough. The incident had only strengthened a drive to exert my will upon the bucket. I wouldn't be content with anything less than total domination now. A bucket shouldn't be able to stop a person, and I was willing to do whatever had to happen to prove it. The only thing worse than getting trapped in the same bucket 19 times is surrender. Okay, so I've been living under a rock the past few years and did not realize that Ali Brosh, the author of today's hilarious and poignant book, has a huge and not so very patient fan club out there. Well, I've joined that fan club after reading today's book, but I hope I'm a bit more patient than those who write reviews of their favorite author on websites. Yes, it's been more than 5 years, more like 7, since Brosh followed up her hugely popular book, Hyperbole and a Half, which touched the hearts and psyches of lots of readers, resulting in way too many reviews that read something like this. Quote, "This is finally actually happening. I've been waiting so darn long for this, and I'm so emotional right now. Ali Brosh is literally a huge part of why I'm on this planet today. If you'll all excuse me, I'm going to go sob for a while." Well, yes, it's great to have fans. And it's great to have a book that touches people so much that they are terribly impatient, can't wait 7 years, which can be a while, for a new book by the same author to come out. These illustrated stories meander from childhood, where we started with the balloon and certainly with that bucket, into adulthood. All the while, Ali Brosh probing real-life problems of depression, anxiety, and the daily peculiarities of humans interacting with kids, with adults, with neighbors, with dogs, and other animals that surely all of us have wondered about. As the title tells us, solutions often result in unrelated problems. Unrelated, unexpected, and often unintended as well. Indeed, it doesn't take a huge leap of faith as a reader to realize that no chapter's story really ends. It's just as likely to pop up again in the narrator's life, in this book, with a new problem to resolve, which will like result in yet another, and then another, and then another. If you're familiar with Ali Brosh's artwork, and you probably are, whether you know it's by this particular author or not, you'll know that the characters are drawn in a free-form but remarkably consistent style. These are anything but realistic comic characters in their design, but they have an appeal that makes this book a real page-turner. Through it all, Brosh is sympathetic, tries to be understanding, and tries to make sense of the world around her, whether she's a 3-year-old girl or a grown adult. She tries to take the other person or the other animal's point of view. For instance, here she is telling us, more like asking us, about pets. She writes, "It's got to be hard for pets to be constantly assaulted from every conceivable angle by the insane-seeming behavior of their caretakers. Fortunately, animals are the psychological equivalent of tractors. It's honestly amazing how durable they are. We can do pretty much whatever we want to them, and they'll be like, 'Okay, we will try it. Thank you for interacting with us.' We don't stop there, though. We aren't content to allow them to sit there and just passively accept how ballistically confusing their life is. No, we want them to participate. Roll over, Bongo." Why is it always doing this at us? "Roll over, Bongo. Does it need this for something?" I didn't realize the true extent of this until I saw a video clip of a rabbit competing in an agility competition. I'm not sure the rabbit knew it was competing, but everyone else knew, and they were cheering for the rabbit and having so much fun. The rabbit seemed to mostly be enjoying itself, which was surprising, given how existentially confused it must have been. Many other reviewers have noted that Brosh really puts herself out there in this book, in other essays that she's written, in her blog. And indeed, it's hard not to agree with them when you read what Ali Brosh has to say about herself in that inevitable about the author corner. She writes, "Ali Brosh lives as a recluse in her bedroom in Bend, Oregon. In recent years, she has become almost entirely nocturnal. Her hobbies include baseless speculation, spying, no-stakes gambling games that she makes up to pacify herself, actual games like Magic the Gathering and Hearthstone. Learning about math and physics helps make the speculation less baseless, and also occasionally walking around and looking at things from a safe distance. She is friendly." Brosh has also given herself many prestigious awards, including Fanciest Horse Drawing, and Most Likely to Succeed. If this sounds like the kind of book that you, or maybe a friend, or maybe you and a friend, will enjoy, I hope you'll give it a try. It clocks in at well over 500 pages, but I'll tell you, from personal experience, you kind of get lost in these stories, in a good way, and you kind of forget you've read page after page of Ali Brosh's delightful prose, intriguing prose, sometimes depressing prose, and always engaging cartoon characters. It's quite a read, certainly not for everyone, but if you're the type who enjoys solutions and problems and Ali Brosh, I think you ought to give today's book a try. Solutions and Other Problems by Ali Brosh. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, as well as, certainly, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.